You may be seated. At our 8:30 worship service, Charlie Moyer informed the congregation that of something that's very true, is that as you read the Old Testament and you have different words that are there, how to pronounce them, you know, is often a choice of the one doing the interpreting. He informed the congregation that the correct pronunciation of the book that we're studying today is Habakkuk. And then Barbara Simmons, who was reading, checked Google. And of course, whatever we find on Google is probably true, right? So anyway, she said Habakkuk as well. Now, the reason they brought that up is because the sermon title for today is God's Got Your Habakkuk. And my response is, you know what? I think they're probably right. Habakkuk is the correct pronunciation. However, it didn't work with my sermon title. So I changed it. And that's because my dad, who was a pastor, said, David, never let the truth get in the way of a good story or sermon title. So, the pronunciation for today is indeed Habakkuk. However, it is probably should be Habakkuk. So, just so inquiring minds could know. We gather today to continue our study of the minor prophets, the last six of the 12 minor prophets that we're looking at here. And we do so today with a favorite book. And it's an important book for us, not only in the life of the Christian faith, but as Lutheran Christians, this is an important book. Now, how many of you have ever read Habakkuk? Or Habakkuk, I should say. Yeah, several of you. The thing about this book is that it really gets at something that is very universal for us as the people of God. Now, the title of the sermon is God's Got Your Habakkuk, so I want to follow up on that. If I said to you, I've got your back, or someone says to you, I've got your back, tell me, what does that mean? If someone says that to you, or if you say about someone, that person has my back, what kind of characteristics would lead you to say that? Just go ahead and shout them out. Support. What else?
Loyalty.
I didn't hear that. Watching over you. Someone who's looking out for your interest. What else? Trust. Great. What else? What is that? What did he say?
Challenge.
Yeah. Someone who's, if someone's got your back, then they're willing to be there in the midst of a challenge for you, right? Right? Yeah. Anybody else?
Unconditional.
Someone who has your back. Unconditional. That's a great one. Well, think. Somebody say something else?
Wingman.
What is it?
Wingman.
Awesome. I love that. Wing woman. Wingman or wing woman. Yeah. Someone who's there beside you. Someone who's there to support you. Yeah. Well, that idea of someone who's got your back is a very important one. Take a moment to think about the people in your life who have your back. I'm sure some of you look around and see people here in this place. You see your spouse. Maybe you think of a coworker. Maybe you think of a friend from many years ago. Perhaps your college buddies. You think about the people that have your back, the people that offer all of those characteristics in your life. Well, for Habakkuk, who was writing his book, he was in the midst of a time where he really needed to be able to share to the people of Israel that God had their back, that God was there for them, because the reality of the writing of Habakkuk is this. It was a time of desperation, a time of uncertainty, a time of crisis, a time of struggle, a time of pain. Habakkuk is writing probably within 10 years of the time when the southern kingdom of Judah fell to the Babylonians. And they are called the Chaldeans in our book today. You see, they could see that coming. He could see that this struggle was happening. This powerful, oppressive regime of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, were overshadowed. They were casting their shadow in the life of the people of Judah. So they saw, they knew that something bad was going to happen. And you can even see that from the very beginning of the prophet's words. He starts out saying, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen, or cry to you violence and you will not save?" How many times have you felt that in your life? Something was overshadowing you. Some kind of oppressive difficulty or struggle or pain was overshadowing you. And we, as human beings, cry out, "O Lord, how long?" That is the context for Habakkuk, for Habakkuk, to share his message today. And it's interesting because what he says to them is very real and very honest, something that we would want to hear from someone who has our back. They don't tell us Pollyanna words. Instead, they say, "Yeah, right now it feels like God is not present. Right now it may feel so painful and hurtful for you. But there is yet another word." As Habakkuk talks and shares with the people, he comes to a place and a promise that is paramount to our lives as Lutherans, as Christians. It was the last word of what Judy read in our reading today. As we were reading in chapter 2, after he has shared his complaints, as he has brought his stress to his God, as he has come and honored the reality of their pain and their suffering, he says this: "But the Lord answered me, the righteous live by their faith." In the midst of our pain and struggle and suffering and uncertainty, in the midst of those things that seek to overshadow us and oppress us, Habakkuk dares to offer to us that even in the midst of those things, you can have faith. And that's important. That's vital. That was actually then picked up. These ancient words of Habakkuk were then picked up by St. Paul in the book of Romans. Newer but still ancient words. And these ancient words read this: in the midst of perhaps the book that tells us Paul's theology more than any, he says these words: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation," for those things, for saving help in the midst of our struggles and pain. "It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith." St. Paul, quoting Habakkuk. A Habakkuk who is writing in the midst of certain doom and danger and suffering. And he calls the people to faith. St. Paul, then, writing for the fledgling Christian community, he says at the very heart of who we are is a willingness to have faith, to have trust that God will be who God has promised. And then these ancient words were picked up by someone else, a man by the name of Martin Luther, who, when he was in the midst of his own suffering and struggle, when he was worried about his relationship with God, when he was worried that his brokenness, his pain, his suffering, his own sin, those things that seek to oppress and overshadow him in his life were keeping him from God, he read these ancient words. And in these ancient words, he found hope. For it was not in our perfection, it is not in our beauty, it is not in our ability to not disappoint or not harm or not say the wrong thing. It is not in our ability. It is not our ability to be outstanding Christians that make us righteous with God. No. What Luther heard in the ancient words of Paul, who was quoting the ancient words of Habakkuk, is that it is our faith, it is our trust in God to be who God has promised to be that gives us the hope we need to live in this broken and fractured world. Our lives are imperfect. Our lives are disappointing. Sometimes our lives are tragic. But the reality is, in the midst of our lives, our witness, the ancient words of this very book, continually give us the same witness, the witness to a God who does not abandon, a God who comes near, indeed a God who has our back. A God who is here for support. A God who is looking out for us. A God who is not simply our wingman, but a God who will walk with us in the midst of all the stress and struggle that life could ever bring. That means then, as we seek to trust that, as Habakkuk trusted that, as St. Paul trusted that, as Martin Luther trusts that, as we ourselves trust that, we then find that we share this same ancient word message with each other. We become people who have each other's back. When you gather here on Sunday morning, you are gathering here to share with each other these same impressive words, that our God has come near and that our God loves you. At the very end of the book of Habakkuk, he says this: though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vine, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. What confidence in God. What powerful expression of faith. You and I, in the midst of our struggles and pains and hurts and disappointments, in the midst of all of that, we can dare in faith. In faith, we can dare to trust and hope that God will be who God has promised to be, and that indeed new life will be brought out of death and brokenness and pain. That hope and healing will come when we can't even see it on the horizon. That indeed someone has our back. A God who will always have our back. A God who calls you and me to have each other's back. We can dare to be those people. We can dare to have that kind of faith. We can dare to do so, because our God has our back. In Jesus' name, amen.